Now we're going to read our scripture. Connie is going to read it for us. And it is from Genesis, a great, wonderful part of our history and story.
Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off the building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
Kind of language and literature is this particular story? It's an important question for us, right? We read a letter from Paul, and we know it's a letter that he's written to someone, a church community in some country. But the book of Genesis has a variety of literature in it. And I wanted just to explain what kind of literature this is, because I think it's the tone of this story that we have to understand. Emerson and I hang out on Fridays. Cindy wasn't feeling very well on Friday, so it was just us two. And we got about 9:30. Emerson got a little extra energy, so we went outside and we picked blackberries for half an hour, 9:30 at night. By the way, good time to do it. No bees, you know. It was great. So we got done with picking the blackberries, and it was 10 o'clock, and Emerson said, "You know, I'm kind of hungry." And I said, "Well, okay, what do you want?" And she said, "Well, I'd like to actually have some marshmallows over the campfire." Okay, so we went outside, and we put up the campfire, and we did this thing, and we sat around, and she ate marshmallows. But one of our traditions around the campfire, it wasn't the marshmallows that she wanted. She wanted the campfire stories. And so what we like to do is tell stories around the campfire. And so usually Emerson tells one, about 30 seconds long, and then usually I tell two or three that are about 10 minutes long. And she loves these stories. She loves to listen to these stories. Right now she's really into shapeshifter stories. She likes people who change from being human to a tiger to a snake, no matter what it is. She loves these shapeshifter stories. This is not a shapeshifter story in the Bible, but it is a campfire story. It's a story that was told around the campfire and probably told to a variety of people, but especially to children, because the people of the Hebrew people wanted to share their tradition, their story. So this is a story that isn't meant to be literal. You know, too many times we'll take the Bible and we get so serious about it. We think this is the way it actually happened, right? Well, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are meant to be story form. They're a story. They're meant for us to be imaginative and kind of catch what's going on. And maybe even, yes, believe it or not, laugh a few times, right? And usually that story is told when a child will ask a question. Like we might have Sammy going, "Hey, Pastor Brooke, how did the world begin?" And then Someone would tell a story of how the world began. Or a child might come up to one of the leaders and say, hey, how come there's so many different languages in the world? And so that leader might take out this story and read this story of the Tower of Babel. And one of the things I think that's so interesting about this story is it celebrates diversity. The church hasn't always done that. The church usually wants, and the world sometimes, we want everybody to have one language, preferably our language. We want everybody to sing our hymns, preferably the one in our hymnal. We want everybody to look the same, act the same, and in Jesus be the same. But that, in this story, is not what God is saying. God's saying, it's good to have a diverse world. Now, Cindy, when her dad was still living, he got to writing. He was a pen pal from somebody from Hungary, and he just enjoyed this so much. It was so out of touch with us. I mean, we didn't think Cindy's dad really cared much more than Avon, South Dakota, where he was the mayor. But suddenly, he started writing to this family in Hungary. And one day, this family showed up at his doorstep. It was amazing. This family from Hungary showed up. And Cindy's dad, after they left, called us and said, you can't believe what they were so pumped about. And we said, what? He said, believe it or not, Campbell's soup was a big hit. And he said, it wasn't just that there was Campbell's soup. He said, it was the varieties. It was all the different varieties of canned soup. They just couldn't believe it. And he said, another thing they were definitely enthralled by was the electric garage door opener. They couldn't stop using that. You know, they didn't have that technology in Hungary at that time. But the thing they enjoyed the most was going to the grocery store. The grocery store, because in Hungary, where they were, there might be one kind of apple. And they said, we come to this store and there's 15 kinds of apples. We cannot believe all the different varieties of food that they are. They so enjoyed the diversity, the difference, right? We kind of take that for granted sometimes. This story, though, is trying to tell us that sometimes having one language, being of one people, just having one kind of person in the world can be a little dangerous. It can be dangerous. Where might we point to where in history that has been dangerous? We might point to Germany, 1940, late 30s, right? They wanted everything unified. They wanted everything together. They wanted everyone to think the same and do the same. And it became a world problem. We went to war over that. There's something about us that needs diversity in our lives. Our district superintendent, Mark Galang, is not from this country. He's from the Philippines. And I was talking to him, I had lunch with him the other day, and we were chatting, and I said, Mark, what do you miss about the Philippines? You know, you've been in the United States for 15 years. What do you miss about the Philippines? And he said, I couldn't believe what he said, the diversity. And I said, what do you mean? This is the melting pot of the world, right? All these different cultures. And he said, yeah, but you really kind of want everybody to be one culture. And I said, well, what about the Philippines, for crying out loud? You can't. He said, we have 7,000 islands in the Philippines. 7,000 islands. In fact, they've just named 500 more. There's 7,500 islands now. Can you believe that many islands? And he said, because of that, our country has 110 languages. 110 languages. And now, some of those are very minor languages, but at least 8 major languages. Can you imagine what that would be like? For me, I would just say to myself, chaos! How do they function, right? But he says, no. Especially when the church together gets together, the Filipino church gets together and gathers as a whole country, the United Methodist Church does, he said, you hear all of these languages going on. And you hear people trying to lean over and trying to figure out what they're saying. And they're moving from their center over to someone else's center. And he said, it is a beautiful and wonderful thing. Now, there are a certain few songs that we sing, we all know, and that helps us come together, he said. But it's not the language that brings us together. It's the single heart of Christ. That's what brings us together. One of the wonderful things about the United Methodist Church is it is a very diverse church. You maybe wouldn't notice it by looking around here at this congregation, but if you go to an annual conference, or especially a general conference, we have people from all over the world speaking all sorts of languages coming together. By the way, if you read your Bible, and you check out the birth of the church in the story of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, I just want you to check out how many different languages are being spoken. There's 50 of them being spoken. That early church was diverse. It was very diverse. And it really is a gift for us. Sometimes we forget that. One other thing I want to just share. We have two testaments in our Bible, right? We've got the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, and we've got the Greek Scriptures or the New Testament. But I've been reading that one of the things we might want to consider as human beings and as Christians is a third testament. Yeah, this is radical stuff. But a third testament, and that third testament isn't a book at all, but it's creation. God created this world. If we want to know more about God, we need to learn more about what God created. And if you start studying creation, as many scientists know, Kirsten is one of them. The diversity within God's creation is all over the place. And it's not something to bemoan, or it's not something to limit, but instead to celebrate. One of Emerson has been in her first grade class. That's my granddaughter. She wrote a book report at the end of her class for first grade, and it was about an animal. And I just thought, what? And so Cassie was talking to us, and she was saying, "Hey, guess what animal Emerson picked out?" And I said, "Well, it's got to be a meerkat. She loves meerkats." No meerkats. It's got to be a sloth. She's got a stuffed animal slothy that she loves. Nope. You'll never guess it," she said. And then Cindy said, under her breath, she said, "Well, when I was in first grade, the first book report I wrote about was about a platypus. Could it be a platypus?" And Cassie said, "Yes, it's a platypus." So it was, now that's not diversity. But if you study a platypus, it's hard to categorize that platypus, right? It has different characteristics of so many different kinds of animals. And thank goodness in Australia, that's the only place it's there, they protect it. They protect that amazingly diverse animal. Could we learn to do the same with the people that are different than we are? Instead of discarding them or trying to make them into something we want them to be, could we celebrate who they are and learn from that celebration and that diversity? I think we can. So how can we as a church become more diverse? What could we do? Things like Vacation Bible School. Audrey, you were there. Were we diverse Yeah, we had quite a bit of diversity at our Vacation Bible School. We had a Japanese family that had just come over from Japan, and three little ones that could hardly speak, right? We had to kind of learn their Japanese a little bit. Yeah, so things like Vacation Bible School, where we invite the neighborhood, we become diverse. And when we participate in that, we rub shoulders. Another thing I would like you to consider doing, and I know all our kids are doing it, but is learning another language. How many of you have tried that? I've got a daughter-in-law now who is from Korea. And so we went over for the wedding, and I made a fool of myself for about 6 months trying to learn Korean, right? And it's not an easy language to learn. And I thought I had about a page worth of phrases, but as soon as I got over there, I thought, oh man, this is not going to work. But, annyeonghaseyo, I said that. That's hello, right? Just that phrase. You cannot believe how the room changed when I said that. The attitude of that room just changed completely. What would happen if we learned another language and tried to make a fool of ourselves by doing it? I think that would be awesome. A third thing we might do in this church is consider trying some songs that are outside of our comfort zone. I know you may think you're doing that already, but there are songs from all over the world that we could learn, and we've learned a few. But I know that's so hard for us, right? Because it's not our deal. But what would happen if someone from that country came in while we're singing that? They may stay. And so let's think about it. How can we not only celebrate diversity, but work on it so we can be a more diverse church, the way God, I think, wants us to be? And all the people said, amen. For our response, we're going to sing a beautiful hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. And this was written by St. Francis of Assisi. And if you know anything about his story, the dude loved nature. I mean, he was crazy for nature and found God in that Third Testament, in nature. So let's stand and let's sing that together.